think while you were away,
we noted that Adam Arishon, from Adam Arishon till Noach, nobody got it right, Atsheb Avram. And we're trying to understand what it was that Avram was Mechadish, what it was that he saw fit, not just to become better, but to Megaya. Until Avram Avinu, everyone was a Goy. He was the first non-Goy, he Megaya. Kuf Gimel. Akadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hu Avram Avinu, ki hu haya rishon sheyagi lo isa korosh shel kol kibriyas ha'olam hila ma'anoy. As mentioned yesterday, Avram Avinu didn't discover God. Avram Avinu discovered himself. He came to the realization that the entire Briyas ha'olam was for him. The logic is very straightforward, by the way. If you're having doubts, the logic is very straightforward. How do you know that everything Hashem created in the world, He created only for me? It's very simple. How do you know that? Well, what's the logical process Avram Avinu went through to arrive at the Koraz Shakol Bishvili? No. Well, yeah, but so maybe it's not for me. Maybe who else could it be for? Can't be for Hashem. By definition, Hashem is infinite. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. How do you translate Echad? No.
One and only.
The closest English word that we come to Echad is infinite. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad is nothing other than Hashem. It doesn't mean there's only one God and not two. That's not Pirush one. Means there is nothing else other than Hashem. It should have said Yom Rishon. Nachon? Rashi on the spot. It should have said Yom. Why did it say Yom Echad? Because there was nothing else other than Hashem. Echad means infinite. That means there's nothing. Hashem's not lacking anything because He's kulu infinite. So if Hashem created the world, He couldn't have created for Himself. Because He doesn't need it. So therefore He must have created it for me.
Like maybe I'm a bit player and someone else is created for that guy and I'm a bit player in his existence.
Well, Hashem created you for what reason then?
I'm a side role.
One second, Hashem created you for what reason?
To fulfill the side role in this guy's reality, in this other guy's reality. Why does it have to be created for me? Why do I have to be like...
Because if I'm yeah, then this must be yeah for me. Because who else is it yeah for?
Eli.
Eli's also Hashem. There is nothing in the world other than Hashem. So I have Bechira, which we mentioned yesterday is a miracle, which is the only place where I have my own independent existence outside of Hashem. Hakol b'nei shamayim chutz miyirat shamayim. Therefore, everything outside of my Bechira is Hashem. That's the logical process that Avraham Avinu went through. Noach HaTzadik V'Shem B'noi V'Chein Kol HaChachomim V'Tzadikim SheKodmo L'Avram Avinu. All the great Tzadikim and Chachomim that we mentioned earlier that came before Avram Avinu. Amna Mekires Metzia Saboire V'Aminu Shu Kadmoin V'Yochid V'Boire Kol Olomois. They had no problem believing and knowing and recognizing the existence of Hashem, and had Imuna that He was the first cause, that He was Yochid, and He was Boira Koilomas. He created the whole world. They had no problem with it. Ulam heim lo yalu b'daitom ki ike nachas haruach shebo lefonav yisparach mikol abriya kulu bodavke mi odem Hashem. What they couldn't tolerate, what they couldn't deal with, was the fact that the whole reason Hashem created the world was because of whatever that means, some nachas ruach, some pleasure. The whole purpose is from this lowly Odom. Hanim tzakan ba'ilam agashmi, who's found in this lowly physical world. Lamarot shu kol marochok mimen izbroch, he's so far from Hashem, and yet that's the most important thing in the Bria. Lo ha'imuna b'boira oilya me'yisa nerda nideres mem, ele ha'imuna b'otzmom, mi haim u ma koichon. They weren't lacking imuna in Hashem, they were lacking imuna in who they were, what their koyach was. Chelok elokam imal, they didn't understand that they min b'mino im Hashem. Loach Noam in Shio Vobul Loilam Varaku Yisha Kedela Hatzilo Am Shechesoilam. Noach couldn't tofes that there's going to be a bubble in the world, everything's going to get destroyed, and I'm going to be the only thing left to continue the world. Lamarotru Bones at Tavi Meshach Mayevis Unshallah. He built the table for 120 years, day in, day out, with Mesiris Nefesh. He saw miracles. Hashem sent bears and lions to guard the teva from the people that Hashem wanted to destroy it. He couldn't tofes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is prepared to lose the entire world and matzil only noch. You'll destroy the whole world just for me? אז הוא שואל לזה עצמי, וכי אני חושב כל כך עד שבשבילי נברא כל העולם? אני לא יתוכן. When he came to the Mishnah that says, חייב אדם לא אימא, בשבילי נברא העולם, he became an epicurus. He didn't believe the Mishnah. והרי הוא רם וניסו על אלפי עולמות. ואלפים ורבעים מלאכים ושאל סימוי סביבים כן איזה נחס יש לו ממנו שאין לו יתר ברוי. Do you know what is that in the world? That I'm higher than all the Elamos and all the Malachim, millions and trillions, infinite, the whole. Lo yichol yot. Machshava zu halcha v'iznarda mitoich machshava zu ki ein rei leboi re'ilom ha-godl. Haram v'anisa lizazek v'anashim kruzer choyim ha-ilom. It's not mechubidim. To say that a Kodesh Baruch Hu, who's Ram v'niso, who's melech malchem Elohim, that he's bothered with lowly physical creatures, that machshava was tofes. Halchu v'des v'nishtabshu ad she'aminu ki aboyer kiviyochel enu met yen b'nas aboyer. It got to the point where people didn't think for one moment that Hashem had anything to do with this world. Humor says anolas oilam lekochavim u'malzolos v'alpim yisak kol dava. So what did Hashem do? He doesn't want to be involved in this lowly world. Anything to do with these lowly creatures, whatever. He hands over the running of the world to the mazolos, to the kochavim, whatever, and he goes and plays in bigger stakes. But then, yeah, no man, you know what's going on. Yes, if you want to get anything, it's a very deep emotional, it's what Chanukah is about, the Maisa. The human beings since day one have recognized their frailty and have recognized the need to have something to rely on. Something to rely on. You know, the Greeks are the amazing thing. The Greeks never insisted which god you should worship. The Greeks had more gods than anybody else. The Greeks had gods for everything. Yeah? Without going into too many details, but you know, the Greeks had more gods than any other nation. And they had no problem which god you worshipped. You didn't have to worship my god. In Russia, you had to worship Stalin, Lenin. You know, if today, if you don't worship the Arab's god, then you've got to kill you. You're a heretic. The Greeks had no problem. Worship whoever you want. You worship your god, you worship your god. Nimrod was also chill. I worship the god of fire. You want to worship the god of water? You worship the god of water. You want to worship the god of clouds? He had that whole dialogue with the Midrash, whole dialogue with Amar Avinu. Worship whoever you want. Worship whoever you want, no problem. Because we need an emotional something to rely on. So everybody will rely and find a religion and find a god that suits his emotional needs. But there's a first cause, and there's a God who's involved in every aspect of my life, and he's telling me what to do and when to do it and how to do it, and I'm a shubat to him. He's not there for me, I'm there to serve him. That was in the book, is it? There are many people today that are Greeks, many Jews today that are Greeks. The Yiddishkeit is about having a religion that takes care of your emotional needs. Not about avoidance Hashem. It's about a religion. You have your life, you have what you think is important to you and whatever, and you have a God that takes care of those things to make sure that nothing happens to them. That's Greece. That's biduk what the Melchoma with Greeks was. Anyway, back to our guys. But to some Hema Aminu Sha Adam Ainu Masuga Lishnai Smuma. You can't change nothing. And you're under the muzzle. Catholicism is based on this ultimately. Catholicism says you can't change. That's why you need the Redeemer to come and redeem you, because you can't change. They don't allow for process. You're under the muzzle, you're under this whatever, that's your fate, and whatever it is, that's what it is. As Behemshek Drochum Toa Noshim Oid Voida Shegir La Voidis Kachom Vazalis Rachmolatzan. So they came to start worshipping those forces in the world. And they're real forces, by the way. These are not, no one's banged down to a totem pole yet. These guys were in touch with real deep spiritual concepts, and they knew what they were doing. These things are real. Worshipping a stone that doesn't do anything, that's not Avodah Zorah. That's insanity. That's raw stupidity. They were putting into forces that have koichas. They're called Elohim. We're not allowed to worship other gods. They're called gods. You ever worried about that? It should say, don't worship other Narish gods. No, it says, don't worship other gods. I mean, these things have koichas. They're called Elohim Acherim. So that's what these people got involved in, because they couldn't recognize how choshev they were in the cosmic scheme of things. Which is not hard to understand. If you look how big the world is, and the more we understand how big the world is, the more we realize how small we are. This planet is a speck of nothing in a very, very big environment. And we're even smaller than the speck of thing that we live on. And so you realize that I'm a speck of nothing in the total cosmic realm of things, which is bordering on the infinite. So I'm a nothing. So if I'm a nothing, I have these emotional needs. I'm scared. I'm worried. Who's going to look after me? We'll find something to worship. We'll find something to bribe to take care of me. God of wine sounds cool, huh?
People do nothing, are nothing. That means you have to do something to reach the potential that you have. That means
you're talking about in the correct machshava or the incorrect machshava?
In the correct machshava.
Yeah, however, we'll see. Yeah, that's what Avraham Avinu came along and started recognizing. Yeah. 100%. I thought you were talking about in the wrong perspective. The wrong perspective. You also have to do things. Because you want to get your God to do what you want, so you've got to bribe him. You have to you bring sacrifices. You do all sorts of things in order to get. So the gods shouldn't get angry. In Africa, there's an interesting perversion of this that's called ancestor worship. They worship the ancestors, their dead ancestors that have died. That's who they reach out to for this emotional security. Very interesting.
Well, we do that. Go to Kevaracha.
We don't reach out to them.
To her, right. On her schools. But somebody from the outside looking at us could think that was crazy too.
We're not talking about what people see. We're talking about what is. The other actually worship and dove into the ancestors. What people might see and make a mistake incorrectly, that's their problem.
We do things that prevent that.
Prevent what?
People thinking the wrong thing. We turn away from the moon and we still push the one, and some people don't think we're praying to the moon. So we do things.
Well, the first person you need to turn away from the moon for that is that you don't think you're praying to the moon. That's the first person who needs to be told. And then, so we do things so that, there's a thing called Mara Sain and Achinam. There are plenty of people when they go to the Kfarim are davening to the person buried there. I can tell you now. Okay? No shortage of Avodah Zorah today in our own world, Rachmana Litzlah. Avraham Avinu Noila B'matzav Shebo Kimat V'Nishlola V'Mena Abachira L'Tzad HaToiv. The world Avraham Avinu arrived in, it was almost impossible to have Bechira L'Tzad HaToiv. Let's try and look at who Avraham Avinu was and see what chance he had of being Matzliach. Benoilad etzal Terach. He was born to Terach. Hugav itchanech al bircha avodah sililim. Terach wasn't just another Baal Avodah Zorah. He was the Rosh Baal Avodah Zorah. He made his panos out of Avodah Zorah. He was a philosopher of enormous proportions who created religions. Hayelo es kol hasibus sho'ilam shelo lipcho b'toiv. The worst chinuch in the world you could have if you want to be a ben Torah. He was a ben Nida. He grew up in the chinuch of a world where the avirah was based on Avodah Zorah. And therefore he had no hope whatsoever of choosing to do the right thing. Ulam Bezrasis Boinana Samuka, Hugiles Asoda Noira Shalabriya. Through deep meditation, from wanting to arrive at the truth, because you have to start with that, you have to want to arrive at the truth, I'll never get there. He revealed for himself the enormous secret of the creation. He came to the recognition that the whole of Bria Soilam is because of Adam. He's a choosing creature. He has a thing called Bechira. You can destroy the world, you can rectify the world. That's what this Adam has. This Adam's an atom bomb. He might look very small and insignificant, but the whole of the Bria is for him. And not only that, but this Adam has koichas that are doimah to Hashem's koichas. Tzadikim b'misosim kora yudke vavke. L'noiche chauv d'sh'odam arishan atzliach l'kalke l'so'ilom. Al kochach she'olam nosim b'yodei. If Adam arishan had the koich to destroy the world, it means he had the power to destroy the world. It's given over to him. V'im kein arei Adam yoichel l'takin olam b'malchus shakeh. Therefore, if man has the bechira to destroy the world, he must have the bechira to rectify the world and to bring it back to its tikkun. Kesheim shadam arishin yoichel yali b'cho b'ra lemarot shekimat v'nishlole mimena bechiru letzad ha'ra. In the same way that Avraham Avinu could barely find a way to choose good based on his circumstances, Adam arishin was in a matzav where it's impossible to understand how he chose the opposite. Adam arishin was in the best possible matzav. You had to bet on Adam arishin not messing it up, there would have been a safe bet and the best investment you'd ever make. And he messed it up. Why? Because that's the koyach of Bechira. And that's what Avraham Avinu understood. If Adam Arishon in the best of Matzovim could get it wrong, so I, the worst of Matzovim, could get it right.
But the koyach of the Bechira, that means we have a power which against what we have to do. That means it's not free. We have something against.
That's the only reason why you have Bechira.
Yes.
If there wasn't the koyach hara,
yes,
you wouldn't have Bechira.
Yes.
That's posher, do you understand that? If you didn't have the koyach of Ra in the world, you wouldn't have Bechira. Because what would you choose between? Just everything would be obvious. They say the Malachim, the Machlech is the Rishonim. The Rishonim that say the Malachim have Bechira. Just they can never exercise it because the truths are obvious to them.
So how's that Bechira?
Yeah, what's been said, yeah? The truth is so obvious to them that they couldn't choose the other thing. We all have that in ourselves, by the way. Rav Dessler's chiddush, the gilo of what's called the kudus ha-bechira. We don't have bechira in every aspect of our life. There's some things we don't have bechira over. You have bechira in the area where there's an equal balance between your yetzer tov and your yetzer hara. But in many areas, the toiv ol ra. In many areas, your bechira, your yetzer tov is so strong that you have no choice. Yeah, you put a cheeseburger in front of Chaim Kanievsky. You think he has bechira? There's no bechira there. You get some kid brought up in the inner city slums of whatever, and he's brought up stealing cars. He doesn't bechira whether to steal a car or not. He doesn't know anything better. His bechira might be whether to kill the guy before he steals the car or not. They may have bechira, but everyone's bechira is different. So there are certain areas where we don't have bechira bichlal because the truth is so obvious to us, you would never choose that.
So we make the following statement that in a place where we're able to have Bechira is where we're not blinded from the truth, but it's not so clear. It means the Malachim can't choose because it's so clear.
So poshut to them. They're standing in front of a Kosh Baruch Hu. So in the areas where you don't have Bechira, it's because it's poshut.
It's misty.
When you do have Bechira, when you don't have Bechira.
Where we
do have Bechira, where you do have Bechira, you have an equal pull to the Tzad HaToiv that you have to the Tzad HaRa. You have to choose which way to go. You go after your guf or you go after your neshama.
It's always going to be because neshama disappears.
What else is in conflict here? Whether to have the chocolate ice cream or the vanilla ice cream, that's not bechira.
Right. What is
the cows have that ability to choose between this piece of grass and that piece of grass as well. The Rambam says mefurish that bechira is only when it comes to a mitzvah aveira situation. No bechira.
So to decide whether or not
that answer the question.
To decide whether or not to have the ice cream isn't bechira.
could be, could not be, it depends. For some people, having the ice cream just might be honest. For another person, having the ice cream may be a real serious bechira decision. Am I going to have this ice cream? How am I going to use the ice cream as a resource? The ice cream represents a resource in the world that I'm going to use in order to give me nachas ruach, so that I can serve Hashem better, I can be over simcha. When I come home at night, if I have a bit of ice cream before I walk through the front door, I'm less likely to kick the dog and bite kids and whatever. Nevada, there are many, many decisions to be made here.
To have your ice cream.
But you understand that that may not be a bechira decision. It may just be...
I just want the ice cream.
I want the ice cream, yeah. The goal, ultimately, is to use bechira in more and more areas of our life, is to become a baal bechira, where everything is being done, having filtered it through Shulchan Aruch. You don't lift a finger before you cheshbon out, do I need to or don't I need to? Rav Yisrael Salanter, one of the Talmidim, I can't remember who it was, who said that Darwin could have only come to his crazy theory about being descended from apes because he never met Rav Yisrael Salanter. Had he have met Rav Yisrael Salanter, he would have thrown his thesis out the window. Human being who had mastered and control over every faculty of his life. Total mastery. So that everything that had to be done having filtered it through Shulchan Aruch. Yeah? There were people up there. They said the Briskerov didn't do anything before he filtered it through Shulchan Aruch. Everything was, what's the din Torah? What does Hashem want from me in this situation? What I'm going to say now is contradictory, but the goal is to use Bechira in every aspect of your life, and then to get to the point where you shech Bechira gomli and you don't have Bechira left at all. That's what David HaMelech did. David HaMelech used his Bechira to get rid of his Bechira. But you have to go through it. You can't just say, oh, well, I'm going to go, that's enough, shech the Bechira, that's enough. No, it's not to be an honest, it's to have used your Bechira to get to the point where you don't have Bechira anymore because it's so obvious. That's what I'm just talking about, an ideal, yeah.
Like Rav Chaim Kanievsky with a cheeseburger, like that.
Yeah, you put a cheeseburger in front of Chaim Kanievsky. You put a cheeseburger in front of me when I'm starving and I haven't eaten for 3 days, I yadda nisoy. But put a cheeseburger in front of me after I've just had a palotame and shawarma, it also wouldn't be a nisoy for me. You know what I'm saying? It's complex kishboinus where your bechira is being exercised. And it changes, by the way. Just because today a cheeseburger is not a nisoyin for you, don't think for 1 minute tomorrow you might not have a raging tiber for a cheeseburger. Because you don't know where your... You don't know where the Yetzer Hara is going to come with. Yetzer Hara's got lots and lots of tricks up his sleeve. So what did Avraham Avinu do? He took this recognition that he arrived at, and instead of being a good boy and just going home and keeping quiet and becoming a hermit and live peacefully, he decided, no, he's going to change the world. He's going to go teach us to the whole world. Noach said, who I can't bring the world to its tikkun. Avram Avinu understood that he can misak in the world, and he knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sitting and waiting for this person to come along. When's this one person going to come around and teach my children that they are the most important things in the Bria? And therefore he became the father of the eternal nation, that's us, who will bring the world to its final tikkun.
What happened with the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu before?
Yeah, okay, Chazal, yeah, okay. He lost his Talmidim, but his children, you see, stuck out. That's a discussion. Why? I'll discuss what happened to the Talmidim. Well, all the thousands of Gairim had, what happened to them? If you'll meditate on this, just as a note here on the side, if you'll meditate on this subject with a pure philosophy, a pure thought, if you think about it, Who makes more sense to you? Noach or Avram? Your machlekes ya Avram and Noach. If you think about it clearly, Noach makes perfect sense. Avram sounds a little bit off the tracks here. Keitzed itochen sheboire kolay lomois. We have to think here a little bit. Use your imagination to think about who we're talking about when we talk about Hashem. I don't know how big you think Hashem is. I don't know how much the world's reduced Hashem in your eyes down for you. But let's just stop and meditate on a little bit who we're talking about. He's Boire Kol Olamos. Shur Gavur Me'al Gavur. That's Yitanen B'machshavoyse B'dibur HaMaise. Cares about my thoughts, speeches, and actions. If you stop and think about how big Hashem really is, how complex, how beyond. No, it's too big for us. So that Hashem that does what he does in the macrocosmic world, in the nano world, in the small world, it's beyond comprehension. There's no computer today. The superest computer in the world can't perform one protein fold in the amount of time that the world has. And there's billions of them happening every second. It would take 23 trillion years for the superest computer in the world to perform the mathematical calculations needed for one protein fold. Now, protein folds are taking place in every cell of your body all the time, billions of them.
What's a protein fold?
Protein fold is in the nucleus of the cell, there's electrons. Inside the electrons, there's things called proteins. These proteins do certain maneuvers that they need to do in order to keep the cell doing whatever it's supposed to do. I'm just telling you the words. I know this is all Kabbalah to me.
So one of those.
What they say is the signs that looks like shoelaces, like tying your shoelaces, like they move like in this thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. Now the cheshbon that's needed to make that protein fold so that it does exactly what it's supposed to do, that it doesn't conflict with other protein folds doing exactly what it's supposed to be doing, would take the super duperest computer that does something like 13 trillion cheshbonus a second, whatever, would take it 23 trillion years to do the cheshbon of one protein fold. I might be wrong on the numbers here, but I'm pretty close. I haven't looked at this for a long time. Google protein fold and you'll get the information there. In fact, it was so earth-shattering news when they discovered this that certain scientists said that you're wrong. They just came out. Their response to this, because there's not enough time in evolution for even one protein fold to happen, let alone the billions of protein folds that are needed, because they're happening all the time. So it's a complete denunciation of the whole evolution theory. So some evolutionists, in their usually intellectually honest approach, their response to this was, and they published this, was that your cheshbonos are wrong. That was it. And they didn't come and say, well, look, you made a mistake. Yeah, they were like stunned. So that's who we're talking about. We're talking about Hashem. Okay? There's structures in the Shemayim there that are 90 trillion kilometers big. And there's trillions of them flying around at speeds beyond our comprehension. Sending out radio signals. I mean, so yeah, I'm going to fix up his world. He needs me desperately. So Noach's right. What are you talking about? The creator of the universe needs me? He cares about what I'm thinking and doing my little... I'm playing Pac-Man here with him. You know, Tom? Pac-Man. Everyone know what Pac-Man is?
That I know.
Nobody else under the age of 12. Everyone here should know what Pac-Man is. No, seriously. I know, makes perfect sense to me. It's hard for me to accept the fact that this whole thing's all because of me, and I have some major responsibility here to make sure that this all gets done and taken care of. It's a bit much for me. Moshe Lamada Vadoyme, Adam Shenichnas Lebeise, Vakuna Sava Zoev Shal Shnei Bale Chaim, Shematkoitetim Benayim. You walk into a building in a house and there are these two animals having this like merivah between the big fight, and that place is mamash upside down. All Adam Anichnas Lebeise, Vakuna Samech Moshe Lanechach, Ladies Kamash Shotzim Veramoshe. A couple of mouse or whatever got born in your house. Yeah, the cockroaches, the cockroach under the bath gave birth. And everybody's Sameya, and they're phoning Safta, and Shalom Zocher. Sorry, wait, one second. What have I got to do with cockroaches giving birth? Mazikashualai. What are you getting so excited about? Haray Huram Veniso, become a dagas, ma'am. I'm so way beyond thinking about what cockroaches are up to. What's it got to do with me? If you'll multiply the marshal of me to an ant or a cockroach billions of times, you still don't get to the difference, the gap between me and Hashem. Does Hashem really care about what I'm up to? That was a machlekes, Avraham Avinu and Nachum Tzadik. And of course, Avraham made a mistake, and that's why we have to say Shalom Sani, go in the morning and go to work. They discovered a thing called a neutron star.
Yeah, I've heard of that. I don't know what that is.
It's a planet, or a star, whatever, massive star, that... Something went, whatever, I don't know how you say these words, but anyway, it imploded on itself. So this planet, much bigger than the sun, imploded on itself down to the point where it's like 10 kilometer radius ball now. But all the matter that was there in this enormous thing is now in this 10 kilometer ball. So it weighs like, a teaspoon of this thing weighs like a million kilograms or whatever, a million tons, one teaspoon. It's like incredibly heavy, heavy, heavy matter. And it spins, I think it's 13 times a second, this thing spins on its own axis, right? And as it spins, it gives off a radio signal. And every one of them, and there are billions of them, does the same thing at the same time. And these things are flying around at rapid rates, and they don't destroy the world. That's who you're dealing with, so he needs my help. I don't even know how to... build a little bridge across, you know, like a little river. You know what I'm saying? And most of us can't even fry an egg. And he's making, and he needs my help. It's very hard to, if we have to get a drowned egg, that's it, yeah. The boys are climbing souls at war. We call that study, man. We have to, Mechazak. There was some serious activity last night, yeah. Over 400 rockets, 55 casualties. It's heavy. There's a war in Yerushalayim tonight between the Koichos of Kedush and the Koichos of Tumen. We're part of that.
I saw an email from
We have to understand it, sir.
Having his folks there, aren't they?
That's something to follow between the Koichos.
Yes. Thank you.